too. And then, when Blue went to open the door, Dusty saw a white woman in a raggedy dress come out and give Blue a kiss. Wash felt a sudden coldness between his shoulder blades, a tightening in his groin. He could feel the pull of the story, its inevitable downward turn. Thanks to Dusty's big mouth, the talk went around that Blue had him a white woman hid up in them woods, but nobody knew if it was true. They'd never seen her, and couldn't really count on what Dusty said since he was just a kid. Some folks said she wasn't white, just looked it from afar. Said how in Louisiana, a lot more mixing happened during the slave days. So they let them alone, and then the two of them took off for someplace else? If that ain't the ending, I don't want to know any more, Wash said. Black folk didn't like it much, but the white folks? Cal shook his head and paused. You too sissy for the rest. Tell the damn story, you little shit. Wash swatted Cal's arm. Cal jumped back. No telling how the white folks caught wind of what was happening. But one way or another, a crew of old loggers and some of the roughnecks who came with Pop Joyner, they all decided they'd ride out in their sheets and pay Blue a visit. Some say it was Tall Man that left the tracks they followed. Others said Blue himself was careless. Anyway, I guess the gal looked white to the whites, and that was enough to get Blue hung by the tree in front of his house with his balls stuffed in his own mouth. Jesus, Wash breathed. Tall found Blue. Susu said some of the folks over in Kilgore still have the photos they sold down at Longhorn Drugs. Souvenirs. Wash felt the story lodge in his gut. Well, Cal said, we almost there. Just about. Wash swallowed hard, then tried to smile. Better start pretending you're a hard worker. It's just over that rise. And hurry up. We don't get out there before every other black fool, we'll be out of luck. Naomi. Naomi braced herself back against the seat. Henry drove fast, and then faster, a grin plastered across his face. When the truck hit a bump, Gotti and Beto flew up off the bench. They stayed standing, bouncing with excitement and the rough road. Naomi yanked them back down. "Aw, let them have a little fun," Henry said. Just stay out of the way of the gear shift, and it don't matter.
Slow down a little, please, Naomi said.
Henry shook his head like a dog, then raised a mud-splattered arm and whooped, Black gold ahead! The twins didn't have dinner. Naomi had been laying food on the table when he'd burst into the kitchen, calling them all out to the truck.
Never mind that. Once the oil comes in, the place'll be crawling with folks. Somebody always sets up a stand to sell burgers. Well's gonna come in any minute now. Salter didn't believe me, but I knew that was the spot.
Naomi seethed. Almost everybody at school and church and around town had some connection to the oil field, and when there was nothing else to talk about, people would start in on stories of things that had gone wrong. Boiler explosions, well fires, men slipping into the tanks they were cleaning, sinkholes that opened up right under the happy spectators who came to celebrate a new find. All she could think of was the risk, and how willing Henry was to put Gotti and Beto in the middle of it.
Hope we make it in time, Henry was saying. It's like nothing else you'll ever see. Loud as heck, too, when that oil comes up. Might want to plug your ears.
Henry swerved suddenly to the left,
steering the truck down a rutted side road. The headlamps pierced the gathering darkness. Some creature dropped straight down in front of the truck. Naomi gasped.
"Do you think we hit it?"
Betha whispered, looking at Gotti. She shrugged. Soon they had to slow down because trucks were parked bumper to bumper up and down the side of the narrow dirt road. Naomi thought Henry would park there too, but he kept driving.
"We park up front. There's one bonus from being the derrick hand who's a slave to these old rigs."
There was light at the end of the road, and they pulled into a bulldozed clearing. Henry double-parked beside one of the company trucks and threw his door open. The twins piled out behind him before Naomi had even opened her door. She stepped down from the truck and slammed the door.
"Carrie! Robbie!"
Henry was halfway to the rig, but he stopped to call back to them.
"You stay right there with Naomi. Don't go no further. I tell you to drop back, you'd better listen fast. And mind your sister, you hear?"
So now they were supposed to obey her. At least there was that. Naomi studied the scene from the outside in. Men smoked at the edges of the clearing, waiting to see how big the strike might be. Most of them wore oil field gear and had probably been tipped off by rig workers who'd gone back to the yard. But ordinary people were arriving too, seeing some rich man get a little richer was something, and there wasn't much else to do in East Texas on a Saturday night. Folks wandered around the clearing. It was packed red clay, scraped clean of trees and grass. Spotlights shone on the drilling machinery. Workers hurried around the base of the derrick. The oil derricks were everywhere in East Texas. Most of the derricks were leftovers, Henry said. It wasn't worth the trouble to break them down when wood was so plentiful and cheap that you could just build new ones. So the odd towers of crisscrossed boards dotted the landscape, taller than most trees, but not near as pretty. Naomi hugged herself tight and wished she'd brought a sweater.
"Are you too cold?"
she called up to the twins. They were squatting right at the halfway point where Henry had told them to stop, watching the men working.
"No!"
they shouted together. Naomi could feel the hair begin to stand up on her arms with the cold.
"Here."
A heavy jacket settled onto her shoulders. She turned quickly and saw Gilbert Harris from church. He was a year older than she was and had already graduated. Like just about all the men, and even some of the boys from school, he worked in the oil field.
"Oh, well, thanks," Naomi managed.
She thought about giving the jacket back, but the warmth was too welcome to deny.
"You are shivering so hard. Look like you might end up digging a hole to China."
He toed the ground with his boot.
"This one's definitely coming in soon," he said.
"Do you work on this rig?"
Gilbert shook his head. "Nah, I'm a low man on the totem pole. I do whatever needs doing. If the pumper's out sick, I hook up sucker rods to pump jacks. On a rig, I can fill in as lead tong hand. But mostly, I'm stuck being a tank cleaner. Got to work my way up."
Naomi shifted from one foot to another. Tommy Kinnebrew had introduced her to Gilbert one Sunday after church, and he'd said hello to her a few times. Other than that, she'd never spoken to him. "Too bad about the trees." She nodded at the bald expanse in front of them. She scanned it and spotted Gotti and Betho talking with a few kids from their class. Gilbert laughed.
"It's not like we're going to run out. Those pines grow up like weeds, don't you worry."
"Hey," he touched her arm lightly, "you can smell the oil." Naomi sniffed, but all she could smell was the tang of cologne mixed with sweat coming off of the Letterman jacket. "A little like the ocean, a little like gasoline," Gilbert said. "That's oil for sure." The twins noticed the smell too, lifting their noses like hunting dogs catching a scent.
"It's coming from over there," Bethel shouted, pointing toward the rig.
Bethel was running toward the rig before Naomi could call him back. A moment later, a black geyser exploded through the wooden frame of the derrick. It was too loud for him to hear her screams. She started to run, but Gilbert was faster, shouting something over his shoulder as he charged after Bethel. Naomi grabbed Gadi. She could feel her little sister's heart pounding through her ribcage. Gilbert scooped up Bethel and ran back with him under his arm like a football. Behind them, the oil sprayed 100 feet in the air. It splashed down in a sudden black lake. Most of the workers had gotten back from the rig in time, but a few men were covered.
"Thank you," Naomi shouted when Gilbert plopped Bethel down in front of her.
She hugged Bethel tight, then bent him over her knee right there and gave him a spanking to remember. For the next 3 hours, the crowd of spectators grew. There was a hamburger stand, just like Henry had predicted, and Mr. Turner from the grocery store brought a truck with candy, pickles, and sausages on sticks. Naomi made sure to keep her distance, but when Gilbert offered Hershey bars to the twins, Naomi nodded to Gadi, who took his dime and got in line. Bethel started to protest, but Naomi shook her head and tightened her grip on his shoulder.
"Little oil tycoon," Gilbert teased Bethel. "Couldn't wait to get your hands on that black gold?"
He nudged Naomi and pointed in the direction of a shiny maroon Packard 8 coming down the road toward them.
"Speaking of tycoons, look over there. That's got to be Mr. Gibbler. Zane Gibbler's the only one in East Texas with a car like that. This is his land, so I reckon he wants to see how he's going to make out. He's got more deals with the oil companies than anybody else around."
They watched as the sleek car pulled past all the mud-splattered trucks and inched forward into the crowd, which parted quickly to make way.
"He don't like walking much," Gilbert said.
The car slowed to a stop near the rig. An older black man got out of the front seat and opened the back door. A moment later, a pair of polished cowboy boots appeared, followed by a mountain of a man dressed in a suit and 10-gallon hat. His clothes were expensive, but his enormous belly strained against the buttons of his shirt. A man in khakis ran to meet him. Gadi ran over with the chocolate bars.
"Who's that?" she asked, turning her face up to Gilbert.
"That's the man who owns this land. The other guy's the tool pusher," Gilbert said. "He's in charge of the whole operation."
A second pair of legs appeared beneath the Packard's door, and a moment later, Miranda was upon them. She laid a freckled hand on Gilbert's arm.
"Hey, Sneaks," she giggled.
She hugged him. Gilbert carefully freed himself from her arms.
"Didn't know you'd be here, Miranda. Usually it's just your pa."
She shrugged and twirled her blonde hair around a finger.
"Me and Daddy were eating at the Hilltop restaurant over in Tyler when he got word of the strike. He didn't want to lose a minute, so that's how I ended up coming along. But hey, what luck! I get to see you. It's been ages."
She looked up at him through curled eyelashes.
"Working man now," he said, slipping his hands into his pockets.
"Oh, my! Why, Naomi!"
Miranda took a step back in mock surprise.
"Gosh, it's so dark over here, I didn't even see you. You just blended right in with the night."
She pasted on a stiff smile.
"Sneaks, have you been holding out on me? I didn't know you knew our new neighbor."
"Church," he said. "We both go to..."
"By the way,"
Miranda interrupted.
Sneaks is Gilbert's nickname, what his friends call him.
Actually, he began,
that jacket's a little big on you, isn't it?
Miranda said, taking a step closer to Naomi and plucking the sleeve of Gilbert's jacket between index finger and thumb.
But you probably don't have one of your own. Or did you leave yours down in Mexico?
Naomi opened her mouth, but nothing came out.
Whoa, Emmy, Gilbert said. We're all friends here.
He laid an arm around Naomi. She stiffened, shrugging it off.
I bet you're friendly. Say, what happened to you playing ball for Kilgore College?
You know what, Em.
Gilbert's shoulders sagged. Just then, Naomi saw Tommy walking up from the road with her cousins Katie and Jean. Not as good as disappearing into the dark woods, but a clear escape.
Excuse us, please.
Naomi did not look at Miranda, but shrugged off the jacket and handed it back to Gilbert.
Thanks, she said. Keep it as long as you want, Gilbert said, pushing the jacket back toward her.
She backed away.
That's okay.
As Naomi turned and hurried the twins toward Tommy, she heard Miranda say,
Better clean that jacket good, Sneaks.
Her high, false laughter filled the air.
Hey, Tommy said. She gave Naomi a quick hug. Gilbert Harris, huh?
Tommy raised her eyebrows, but waited to say more until Gotti ran to join Katie, Jean, and a group of other kids.
I saw you, but I didn't want to interrupt, said Tommy.
You should have come over. I was dying to get away, Naomi said.
From Gilbert? Why?
He's the handsomest boy in church.
Come on, Tommy. Those blue eyes, that button in his chin just asking for somebody to kiss it.
Tommy gave a sigh.
Yuck, Bethel said.
Oh. Tommy looked down, noticing him standing behind Naomi for the first time.
Didn't realize you were there. Why don't you go play with the other kids?
Can't, he mumbled. Naomi swatted Bethel's bottom to refresh the memory of the spanking.
You can go on and play for a while, but you'd better stay where I can see you, or else you're going to be holding my hand next.
Bethel nodded and ran.
Miranda's green with it, you know, Tommy said.
With what?
Jealousy, silly.
I heard she liked Gilbert a lot and was after him last year when he was the star quarterback.
If he liked her back, I don't know.
But her dad cornered Gil and said he'd never be good enough for her. And if he ever wanted a job with any oil company in East Texas, he'd better keep his hands to himself. To show he was serious, Mr. Gibbler even got the president at Kilgore College to take away Gil's football scholarship.
That's some kind of mean.
At least her life isn't absolutely perfect. Otherwise, she'd be even more unbearable.
Hey, Tommy glanced over her shoulder. Listen, I need to get over there and help my cousin Franklin mix a little. He's visiting from Oklahoma.
I told him he was lucky that a well came in tonight. Otherwise, we'd be stuck playing dominoes with my parents. She grabbed Naomi's elbow.
Come with me. We've got some blankets.
By the time the well was tapped, the twins were asleep in the bed of someone's truck, wrapped in borrowed blankets and snuggled in tight as puppies alongside Katie and Jean. When Henry gave Naomi the nod and motioned toward the road, she gave her blanket back to Tommy and tugged Gotti and Bethel out of the pile. She led them, still half asleep, back to Henry's truck. Naomi perched on the toilet, feet pressed against the stall door in the girls' room by the gym. All week, in every class she shared with Miranda, Naomi paid for being seen in Gilbert's jacket. On top of the meanness of Miranda's words and of her friend's laughter, there was the shame she felt at her heavy tongue and the embarrassment of the other students' pity. A dozen times a day, she thought about walking out of the school and never coming back. Henry would not care. But there was her promise to Abuelito, and the twins to look after, and also the unbearable notion of spending her days in Henry's house. What she wanted now was her tree in the woods. But the bathroom was easier to explain. All she had had to say was lady problems, and a male teacher wouldn't ask any more questions. She'd learned that trick from Miranda.